Hello, and welcome to the Her Sport Show, where we provide insight into the women's game across various sports. With high-profile guests and taboo-breaking discussions, the Her Sport Show is here to empower women in sport. Let's get into it.
Okay, so Fran, just to get to know you a bit better, to kick us off, what is your go-to coffee order?
It has to be a flat white, a skinny flat white. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Any particular reason why?
Strong. I was going to say small, but I'm not very small as a netball player. So definitely strong, really like hits the nail on the head the first thing in the morning. So yeah, a flat white is my usual go-to coffee order.
Yeah, I love how your coffee order can actually, it can allude to people's personalities. That's really cool. And would you say that you have like a pre-game ritual?
A pre-game ritual? Yes, I would. It's definitely changed over the years. And I guess with kind of post-COVID, it's really strange. So I think obviously the gap with COVID, we didn't have a lot of international matches, so when we came back it was kind of starting afresh. So a pre-match ritual, definitely a coffee, definitely a flat white, maybe two flat whites if it's an early morning game. Pack my bags in a certain way, definitely have the music on in the changing rooms, but that's not my responsibility because my music taste isn't quite to liking, so that's normally down to one of the other girls in the team. But definitely music, coffee, and just a bit of a giggle in the changing rooms, really, because it's nice to kind of have that time together before we head out on court. But I guess it really depends on the player. Normally I'm a shooter, so I get a bit of time on my post before a game, so the shooters go out a little bit earlier, and so it's nice to kind of, we get ready first, we leave the changing room first, and then all the other girls teammates come out and join us afterwards. Mm-hmm. So yeah, kind of have to be one of the first ready, but there's a lot of hairdressing, dancing in the changing rooms, and making sure that we're obviously ready for the court. Yeah,
that's really cool. It's actually interesting, I had an interview with another athlete like a week or two ago, and she actually mentioned that she read a study that was quite an interesting one, where it's actually been shown that like teammates who do each other's hair, specifically for girls teams now, if they do each other's hair before a match, then that will actually like impact their performance in a very positive way, which I thought was quite interesting. But I can see how it makes sense, because they're bonding before a match, I think, is so important. It sort of sets you up for the mood entering into the game. So
definitely. And we always, as a team, we'll have that time before a match, either before we even get to the venue, then we have that time in the changing rooms, and then we always split into our units. So we do have a bit of, we have to kind of zone in the changing room just before we step out onto court. So we get all the fun, allow kind of the nerves to settle in the changing rooms, and then it's straight to business as we leave the changing rooms and head to court.
Really cool. And then you sort of mentioned it already, you touched on the songs. So what would you say is your favorite song on your workout playlist?
Oh, on a workout playlist. So this is a really cop-out answer, because I had to get rid of my Spotify because all the subscriptions changed. And downloaded iTunes. And do you know when you have to start again? And you know where to start. So, oh gosh. Do you know, it's a cop-out answer. I just tell the girls to put a song on. Well, when I'm in the gym, it's whatever is recently played. I don't know, something. Someone else's playlist, because I can't choose, so I'm like, oh, what's trending at the moment? So I don't really have a go-to song, just see what's out there. And normally I spend a lot of time in the car, so whatever I know the lyrics to and have to sing in my head, because obviously I don't want to be singing out loud, but it all tends to motivate me.
Okay, thanks for sharing that. Okay, so if you can just tell me a bit about your netball journey. So how did you get involved in playing netball?
Yeah, so actually I grew up in England, grew up in Sheffield. My parents are both PE teachers, so sports, I was born to be involved in sports. My mum actually played netball when we were younger, when I've got a twin brother, so we were dragged to netball as young children, and then it kind of took off from there, really. I got involved in a Yorkshire setup at a young age group, and then continued kind of the pathways in the English system before trialing for Ireland at 19. So at the time when I was at university, I got invited to fly across to Dublin, trial for the international team, and it kind of took off from there, really, and now we're 8 years down the line.
Wow.
And I was, but it was about kind of obviously setting the foundations as a child. I played a variety of sports, and I think it's all really come back around full circle, really. So making sure I have the fundamentals throughout school, building that outside in clubs and the pathway, which now has significantly increased and changed for the better as netball's obviously developed over the last 20 years. And then from Ireland at 19, I trialled and I've managed to kind of stay involved. We've obviously had, it's been a significant amount of time whilst I've been involved in Ireland. So we've seen a management change. We've obviously had COVID. And then now it's kind of making sure that at grassroots level in Ireland that we've got the systems in place and make sure that our junior pathways have someone to look up to, a senior squad to look up to, especially because it's not as well known in Ireland, netball. So it's about making sure that obviously there's your senior squad, but that's the open squad. And then down the age groups, there's always a pathway to promote netball, whether that's on the international stage, at grassroots level, in the community. And so really just making it available and well known and increasing netball in three.
Yeah. And would you say, so obviously growing up and training and playing netball in England and then coming over and playing for Ireland, would you say that there was a big difference in terms of the interest in the sport?
Certainly, there is a big difference. I mean, first of all, every school in England plays, every girl in school participates in netball every day, in everyday classes, PE classes. And then I know over across in Ireland, it is getting there. There are a lot of new clubs being opportunities for children, girls to participate at club level in schools. I think it is growing. I think there is work to be done, but I think it's completely separate, and the fact that we've got an opportunity that it's not as widely recognised in Ireland as this is in England, especially following the World Cup that's just been on, that's obviously the netball and the impact of the social media, the wide press and interest across the world, it sparks an opportunity to kind of build on that in nations where it's not as widely participated in.
Yeah. And do you remember how you felt when you found out that you actually made the Irish national team?
It was overwhelming. Because obviously it's so, you have to work so hard at such a young age to kind of commit at a young level, that when you kind of get to 18, 19, when the systems, especially when I was younger, the systems weren't in place at that time, at that age group. So you kind of hit adult netball at an earlier age. Whereas I know now there are programs in place for over 21s, over 23s. So at the time when I was only 19, it was such a massive achievement, and it is obviously at any level a massive achievement to play for your country, but especially at such a young age as a teenager. I think I was the youngest in the team at the time at 19, so it was like going into a new family, a new netball journey, and the fact that it opened doors to essentially travel the world playing the sport that I love the most with a great set of women at the time, which has now evolved. Obviously, it's been 8 years, so I've kind of been there and seen the transition of new players coming in, new management, different approaches to netball. But I remember flying across at 19, and that will forever stay with me, and the girls taking me in under their arm, because I was only 19 at the time. So yeah, that will forever remain as a solid point to remember in my netball career.
That's really lovely, thanks for sharing. Before we actually move on, if you had to like summarize netball to someone who's never heard of it before, like how would you go about doing that?
Ooh. Fun. really competitive. So I think people have a misunderstanding that obviously traditionally it's a non-contact sport, but that has significantly changed as the rules have kind of developed over recent years. Strong physical, fun, and for me it's all about being part of a team ethos, team orientated, so lots of fun, team sense, yeah. Of a team and a great set of girls, but definitely more physical and competitive over recent years.
And then in terms of the structure of it as well, so how many players are there on the court, if that is correct, on the court at the time? Yeah. And also, like, how does the game how would a normal game look?
Okay, so we have 7 players on court at one time, and then you have 12 on a bench. So you could take 12 to a competition, and you have 2 shooters, so a goal attack and a goal shooter. They're the only 2 that can shoot. You can only shoot within the D. Trying to think of all the rules now. You have a goal defence and goalkeeper, so they're the defenders. And then you've got centre court players as well. So players are only allowed in certain areas of the court. And so it's about, essentially, it's alternate centre passes. So it's about ensuring that you score from your own centre pass, and then of any turnover, any mistake of the other team, you're looking to capitalize on that to make sure it's not a draw, because otherwise it would just go goal for goal. So you can't run with the ball, and you have to be a meter away before you can defend and stick your arms up and try and intercept. And though it says it's non-contact sports, it's definitely a lot more physical.
Because I remember as well, growing up, I also used to play netball with friends, just like during our break at school. And I think the one reason why I didn't really want to play netball was the whole idea of you can't run with the ball, because I almost feel like your immediate instinct, if you get a ball and you're playing it and the objective is to score, you want to run with that ball, but you can't in netball. But you did sort of touch on it as well. It is a very high intensity, fast paced sport though, which a lot of people don't realize. So yeah, in terms of training as well, it must be quite intense at times.
Yeah, so it's actually, it's pre-season, traditionally pre-season stage now, and it just depends on how kind of international competitions fall. So we've got trials at the end of August. So technically training in the season obviously looks different to a pre-season stage, but it's a lot of gym work, explosive work, strength work in the gym. But because it is such a fast-paced game, you also need to be able to be quick and run and sprints, lots of agility and footwork drills. We call it ball and wall work. So especially in the off season when you're not traditionally training with your teammates, it's a lot of work one-to-one, so we often use a wall and have your ball and time on your post if you're a shooter. But it's about getting that split right, really. So you need to be able to be strong in the gym, endurance through running, but because it is a netball court, depending on your position, it's not as big as obviously other sports. And so it's about being quick, off the mark, explosive over a short distance. But also, for example, if you are a centre and you need to maintain that fitness for 60 minutes, you also need the endurance to keep going at that speed.
And in total, how long is a normal game?
So 60 minutes, so it's four lots of 15.
Okay.
So you kind of, the first 15 compared to the last 15, it's about making sure that obviously you're fit enough to go straight away. So it, there's no way, as the whistle goes, you need to be on your A game, but also making sure that 45 minutes in, when you've got the last 15 minutes, especially if it is a tight game, you're going goal for goal, it's sometimes down to who's the fittest team and who's got the endurance to keep going. But also it's very, as I've kind of got older, it's such a mental game, like being able to stay in it. So you can have the fitness, but you also need to make sure that mentally you're still in that game 45 minutes on.
Because I think also because it's so fast paced as well, your decision making needs to be really sharp.
Yeah.
So I can see how your mental game also needs to be on for that. And then obviously this year, Ireland got silver at the Europe Netball Open Challenge in May. So yeah, what do you think that medal meant for the team?
It was a fantastic opportunity on the international stage. So Euros for us is a competition that we've attended every year. We always look forward to that competition. It's a competition on the international stage with teams that are ranked closely to us. And so being able to participate and perform in that competition each year is amazing. We came off a gold medal the year prior to the most recent Euros, so 2023. And there was a little bit of pressure to kind of maintain that gold medal position. And we performed really well in the group stages. So to get to the final in itself was a fantastic achievement. We've had a very strong year and growth period after COVID, because obviously that impacted all athletes across netball and other sports. So the silver medal, obviously we worked so hard for that. We'd been to Singapore at Christmas, so we felt that competition earlier in the year really put us in a good position for Euros and playing teams more closely ranked to us. We played UAE in the final, and we'd previously beat them by one in the rounds, so we kind of knew it was going to be a very close battle in that final game. And UAE did perform really well and deserved that gold medal in Euros. But obviously, as a nation that is looking to grow and build, and we do have a young squad, and I say that because I'm now one of the old members of the team, it's really about making sure that when we do go to competitions, because they are so few and far between throughout the year, that we peak at the correct times. And so May is when Euros is held. It's normally a peak time for us to perform as a team, and we're very much looking forward to Euros 2024, which is in the pipeline already. So post trials in August, it's going to be we've got quite a long training period before we have international competitions. We're going to have fixtures, non-ranking fixtures throughout the September to Christmas period, but then making sure that we are peaking later on in 2024, which is quite unusual for a netball team. You normally, because the season starts in September, you're looking to perform from September onwards, but we're actually quite fortunate that we've got friendlies non-ranking games to keep us ticking over and training at a high level from September to Christmas this year. And then our competitions arranged are for 2024 onwards. So lots to do in the upcoming months.
And you mentioned that there's been a lot of growth in netball mm-hmm. in Ireland. And why do you think that is?
I think women are looking for opportunities to get into sport and a team sport and an environment where you can have fun. And especially at grassroots level, at any sport, about being in a team and having fun away from the usual day-to-day life. At the end of the day, making sure that you're staying fit. And sometimes people don't want to be in gyms and they don't want to do individual training, so actually having a place to go, a safe place, and a place where it's with your friends or meeting new people in the same environment. So whether they've played netball at school or they've come from a different country, about meeting new people in a place where you can have fun and learn and develop. And it's all about fitness and being involved in a sport that brings people together. I think it's and out you can play outside, so in the summer months you're able to do that outside training and obviously see the benefits of being outside in sunshine and having that time away from your desk if you've got a desk job. But also it's an inside sport traditionally, you play inside, so it's all year round fitness, and it's a different fitness sports that obviously haven't ever played. And the rules, although there are quite a few rules, it's not too difficult to kind of get your head round. But kind of women's participation in sports, I think it's really important that any sport is promoted to get women involved. And it's not just women anymore, so there are men getting involved in netball, there's mixed netball leagues, so it has grown. It's grown at grassroots level. It's growing in Ireland in terms of the international pathway. So we've now got a youth development squad. We've got some really successful under 17s and 19s and 21s squad. So I think whatever level, if they get women, men, mixed, are getting involved in a new sport and people are coming together on courts and doing something that I love, so I'm going to be biased, but hopefully lots of other people do love. I think you can't go wrong, really.
And then in terms of local league as well, so with the growth and the interest in netball in Ireland, and also with the mixed teams and everything, have a lot of new clubs also popped up in local communities?
They have. We actually do a lot of promotion on our social media of netball in the community and the new clubs that are getting developed in lots of different areas, schools as well. We like to hear from schools that are hosting netball tournaments, getting involved in netball. And we do hear from PE teachers, and people do reach out to Netball Ireland, which is absolutely fantastic, because anything we can do at whatever level to promote netball is fantastic. But for Ireland, every role, whether that's on the international board, the national board or committee, coaching on the main stage and at grassroots, it's all voluntary. So it's all about people who are really passionate about netball are committing their time, their money, their energy, and putting that back into the community, which is absolutely fantastic. And netball in Ireland wouldn't have got anywhere without that support and that effort from our volunteers. And I think it's really important that it is announced that it is a voluntary position. And as a player, we couldn't have done any of it without those women and members. So we're really fortunate that people do football and are willing to commit their time and energy into promoting such a fantastic sport in Ireland.
It's always encouraging to hear that, because there are a lot of sports that are not that well known, there's actually so many people who are genuinely just doing it because they are so passionate about it. And yeah, it's always encouraging to hear that.
Yeah, and even for players on the performance pathway at international level, we're self-funded athletes, and so kind of any opportunity to promote netball, to get sponsors involved and companies and people that are willing to sponsor athletes and teams, to recognise that it is a self-funded sport and it is voluntary led, and so any kind of funding that we are able to seek throughout the season, whether that's through fundraising or donations or people willing to kind of get on board and support Netball Ireland, it's really important that we want to perform for sponsors, we want to attract sponsors, we want to make netball known nationally and make it a recognised sport, because so many women and children and girls play netball, and it's amazing that we just don't have the financial backing that we do need, especially in Ireland. And I guess that's one of the barriers to netball. For example, I work full time, a lot of the girls I play with work full time and or are studying full time. And so being able to balance professional life with international commitments is financially a strain. But as I said, a lot of the girls, the women in my team, the players I play with, the volunteers, we wouldn't do it if we weren't passionate about it. So it's about making sure that obviously we can promote netball, but we also need the financial backing to actually elevate us to the next level. So we need the assistance with gym training, additional training that we as a nation want to kind of propel into the next level. So we do all the work by ourselves under Netball Ireland. And so any support would be greatly appreciated. I'm kind of looking forward to take us to the next level.
You mentioned as well, the Netball World Cup also just took place. And what do you think that competition, like the impact that it has on the sport internationally, but also for Ireland as well?
So internationally, obviously, it's an amazing event that is broadcast so well. And it's great to be seeing it pop up on social media. It's now obviously streamed on Sky and across the BBC and different television channels where it wouldn't usually be promoted previously or previous years. Obviously, having time and discussions with friends where you can say, have you watched the netball, and it's, you no longer have to go to a live event, although it's fantastic that you can still go to live netball games and watch them, but being able to watch it on telly and have your family and friends being able to watch it with you and have those discussions where traditionally you maybe weren't, and you were just watching scores on Twitter or Facebook. And so actually the exposure of having the World Cup televised and so widely recognised in the press, I think it's a fantastic opportunity. And to have your friends go, oh, it is physical, or did you see that? Or did you see that pass in play? So it's actually a really valuable time to kind of watch that netball and see how it's developed, especially in other nations. Obviously, we're watching the top nations compete on one international stage. And I remember saying to my brother, I know how they feel in that final, those emotions. And whether that's the top 10 countries competing on the international stage, when we go to Euros, it's, or a different event, for example, you know, 7 days into a competition, how your body feels, where your mind's at. And so for Ireland, I think we actually competed for the World Cup qualifiers. I think it was about a year and a half ago now. So to know the prep that goes into those nations at such an early stage for a competition that's in a year and a half's time, about the prep and making sure that you are peaking at the correct times, but specifically the impacts of the World Cup being promoted. I just think it's fantastic to have it on social media and kind of attract that netball attention. And yeah, I think it's fantastic to kind of see the figures of the amount of people that are actually watching the netball and interested in netball. And to say about the netball, which is whether Ireland were there or weren't there, I think it's fantastic because now there's conversations about, oh, netball, oh, did you watch that game? And so any kind of worldwide coverage is amazing for the sport.
So would you say that for the Irish women's team, that is your, I don't want to say your next goal, but that is one of the team's goals, is to actually qualify for the next World Cup?
I think, so you have cycles of different training, different tournaments across the year, and we do traditionally go to the same tournaments and are invited to, you get invitations to tournaments. And so for us as a team, especially being in a growth period and a transitional phase out of COVID, and with our management team and progressing forward, we love the opportunities to play other nations that are closely ranked to us, but we also enjoy the opportunity to play against higher ranked teams because it gives us as a nation the opportunity to be exposed to elite performers from different countries. So we tend to play a lot of similar nations throughout the year in the normal tournaments that we go to. But for example, when we did go to World Cup qualifiers, we were able to play Wales, Scotland, Northern Ireland. And so for us, the exposure to play higher ranked teams actually benefits us as players and as a team, because it shows us, okay, we can perform at that level. Where are our weaknesses? Where are our strengths? And it's actually a really eye-opening exercise to kind of play at such a higher level. And I think to progress and to get to the next kind of level for Ireland, we were previously ranked in the top 20 before COVID. To kind of get back into that level, we need to be playing teams that we usually play and enjoy playing, and it's a fantastic competition to go to, but we also need to make sure that we're playing teams that are going to challenge us, expose us, and let us learn, essentially, so we can progress back into the top 20 over the next couple of years.
Super exciting. And why would you encourage other women and young girls to play netball?
I think it's a great opportunity to meet friends, other women, other females from different backgrounds, or where you'd never traditionally meet or cross paths, because it's just a way of bringing women together. The bond I have with my netball team and the bond that can be created on a netball court, whether it's for participation, you're having fun, whether it's performing, it really creates a sense of community. Being able to go to any corner of the world and kind of call on those friends or have a catch up is a great reason to kind of reach out and get involved in netball, because you always have that sense of community wherever you go or wherever you end up. You will always be able to say, I played netball with her, or do you play netball? So yeah,
that's really special. And thinking back on, let's call it, your sporting journey in general, what would you say is, like, you can give one or multiple, what is maybe like a key lesson that you've learned through playing sport?
Where to start? It's all a lesson. It's been a journey. I think the key lesson for me has been resilience. It's never a straight path with sport on the journey of sport, on your sporting career, and being able to receive criticism or pushbacks, but being able to continue going. And if you truly do want to get to the top of your sport or to a certain position in your sport, being able to keep going and develop and learn and grow on your journey has been a key lesson for me. it's never nice, obviously, receiving criticism or pushbacks, but being able to bounce back and say, no, I'm going to do this. It's a goal of mine. Being resilient every single time to push back and keep going. There is no limits. It's about being kind of disciplined enough to know that, okay, I'm going to prove you, I'm going to show you otherwise, I'm going to keep going and keep going. For me, resilience has been a key part of my sporting journey. That's one of the key lessons.
That's incredible. Thank you so much for sharing that, Fran. And yeah, I don't know if you have anything else to add.
Oh, I guess it's just really important to me that obviously Netball Ireland is recognised, or the volunteers are recognised for their hard work and support that they provide throughout the season, off the court, on the court, to not just the open squad, but all the girls in the setup at different age groups, and any kind of support. If anyone wants to get involved in Netball Ireland, please reach out to us. If anyone wants to be involved in sponsorship opportunities, I guess this is a key point for me to kind of push that we are self-funded, and to get to the next level, which we all work so hard for on and off court, during the season, off the season. It's a great platform to kind of speak out and assist not just myself, but my teammates and others in the program. For women that do want to be involved in netball, please go to your local sports club, go to your local netball teams, reach out to Netball Ireland on social media. We love to get women involved, girls involved, mixed netball, it's all going off. And so please do reach out to our social media and contact Netball Ireland's website. And lastly, for you guys, thank you so much for having me on today, and being so supportive. You do support us during tournaments, and your support and being able to promote Netball Ireland on your social media platforms is amazing. So thank you so much, and thank you for your time today.
Thank you too, Fran. Really enjoyed this chat. And yeah, we'll definitely stay in touch. Look forward to seeing what happens in the future as well.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And I better go kiss a flat white.
Thanks for tuning in. We hope to see you again for the next episode. Be sure to subscribe to Her Sports social platforms to get the latest Women in Sports content.